Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to Resolution Radio at resolutionrdo.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. One sign that we're living in a falling empire is that the state simply cannot meet its obligations. One such obligation is to provide in a timely manner information requested by citizens about what the government is doing and how it is doing it, with reasonable exceptions to prevent enemies from using the information to hurt us. This basic principle was codified into law more than 50 years ago in the Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA. I'm sure you've heard of FOIA requests, to which the government is obligated to respond in a timely and honest manner. A group of scientists and academics recently requested information on the FDA's approval of one of the so-called vaccines ostensibly intended to prevent COVID-19 infection. They weren't anti-vaxxers. In fact, the group making the request said that they hoped that the release of the information would, quote-unquote, increase public confidence in the jabs. What happened when they made the request? the federal government said it would take 55 years to release the documents. Reuters reported on the matter. Quote, Freedom of Information Act requests are rarely speedy, but when a group of scientists asked the federal government to share the data it relied upon in licensing Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, the response went beyond typical bureaucratic foot dragging, as in 55 years beyond. That's how long the Food and Drug Administration, in court papers this week, proposes it should be given to review and release the trove of vaccine-related documents responsive to the request. If a federal judge in Texas agrees, plaintiffs, Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency can expect to see the full record in 2076. The 1967 FOIA law requires federal agencies to respond to information requests within 20 business days. However, the time it takes to actually get the documents will vary depending on the complexity of the request and any backlog of requests already pending at the agency, according to the government's central FOIA website. Close quote. Now, this request will supposedly require the release of a little over 300,000 pages of material. And the FDA says they have to protect the sacred rights of Pfizer, so no one can discover their trade secrets. So that's their excuse for the 55-year timeline. But that's actually ridiculous. It took the FDA only weeks to do the supposedly far more intensive and arduous process of actually approving the jabs by reviewing and actually producing, writing, and publishing this very same material. Now they want 55 years. It seems they are trying to hide a lot more than trade secrets. Back to Reuters, quote, The plaintiffs, a group of more than 30 professors and scientists from universities including Yale, Harvard, UCLA, and Brown, filed suit in September in U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas, seeking expedited access to the records. They say that releasing the information could help reassure vaccine skeptics that the shot is indeed safe and effective, thus increasing confidence in the Pfizer vaccine. Close quote. In a falling empire, the laws become meaningless. They enforce what they want to enforce, when and only when they want to enforce it, and deliberately ignore the rest. That's what's happened with the FOIA law. It's also what's happened in several left coast cities where they've basically legalized theft. They can't bear to arrest the nightmare animals the Jews have forced on us in the name of multiracialism and equality, and they also simply don't have the will or strength to do anything requiring hardness or unpopularity. They were already ignoring for decades the smaller crimes of non-whites in our third world cities, though persecution of racially conscious whites is always ramping up. Now they've just formalized that. As Soros and the other Jews spend billions on politicizing prosecutors' offices around the country, more and more of that sort of thing is coming. Now, in some jurisdictions, more right-wing and conservative administrations have taken an opposite, but almost equally disastrous approach. They're still taking the crack down hard approach, meaning that everyone is forced to live in fear, of thug-like third-world style police, as well as actual third-world thugs. Neither the conservatives nor the lefties will address the real problem, the race problem, the conversion of our nation into a non-white feeding and breeding zone. The inability to face true existential threats is another symptom of living in a falling empire. The law enforcement and justice system is breaking down. It can't keep up with upward spiraling non-white crime, fueled by huge non-white birth rates and immigration. As the system attempts to deal with the war zones that the non-white parts of our cities have become, America does begin to look more and more like a police state, except in areas where they've almost given up. In crackdown hard zones, cops have to get meaner and tougher, even while their administrators try to tie their hands for racial sensitivity reasons. Our former constitutional rights are routinely ignored. New laws give the authorities all kinds of NKVD-like powers, and many major cities and many federal agencies have black-helmeted killers and terrorizers at their disposal. To deal with the street gangs and street animals that the Jews and liberals have loosed on America, we get law enforcement that is just as mean and violent as the animals they are trying to control. And we are building prisons at a rate so fast it makes your head spin. No white person would want to live in the police state that will be needed to keep a third world America under control. No white person would want to live in Cripsville or Bloodsville either, which is what you have when the police are too weak or the city governments have given up. Neither alternative is acceptable. Neither alternative gives our children a life worth living. There is only one alternative that will work that we can live with, the alternative of the National Alliance. Total racial separation. Freedom and self-determination for white people. Independence in the true sense of the word, and in the sense that our ancestors meant it. Another obligation that a falling empire cannot meet is paying its debts and maintaining the value of the hard-earned savings of its citizens. I've already discussed how the U.S., by essentially canceling the foreign exchange reserves of Russia, has knocked down the first domino that will cause nation after nation around the world to abandon the U.S. dollar. An unstoppable positive feedback loop has already been started that will decimate the value of the dollar, which up until now has been propped up by oil producers being bullied by threats of U.S. military action into accepting only dollars for crude oil. That's all going to end soon. And when it does, the U.S. dollar will tank worse than ever. 2022's inflation will look like the good old days in comparison. History shows us that the falling Roman Empire, unable and unwilling to do the hard things it needed to do to keep solvent, resorted to debasing its own currency again and again during its long and painful fall. And we all know what happened to the currency of the failing Weimar Republic. Similarly, America has been progressively defaulting on the dollar for almost a century now. First, Americans had their gold stolen in 1933, and the state reneged on its promise to redeem its notes for American citizens, though foreign governments and banks still could. Then, Americans had their silver stolen in 1965 in a somewhat similar way. Then in 1971, the U.S. reneged on its redemption promises even to foreign central bankers et al. Now the U.S. is defaulting even on the petrodollar. And the creation of money out of thin air for the benefit of the regime in Washington and its Jewish overlords has gone into overdrive. Some 80% of all the dollars that have ever been created have been created in the last 3 years alone. A falling empire, indeed. Another thing that happens to falling empires is the state, while oppressing and enslaving its own founding people, becoming attached to moneyed foreign interests. We see this in America's slavish devotion to the Jewish state of Israel. Jews, the world's richest and most powerful ethnic group, being the moneyed interests. Israel's borders are sacrosanct. Ours, at Jewish behest, don't even exist anymore. Israel, it is often said, and always at least implied, must remain ethnically Jewish. And it is our job as Americans to pay, and die to ensure that it never becomes anything except Jewish. Meanwhile, it is our moral duty, according to the Jew-dominated media and ruling elite, to make America darker and darker with each passing day. Consider the pervasiveness of the phrase, "We are committed to the survival of Israel as a Jewish state," in the mouths of our bought and paid for politicians, who could not care less about the survival of America or any country anywhere in the world as a white state. We read and hear example after example of the use of that phrase, almost word for word. The earliest example I've found of it is this. In 1976, when he was running his successful presidential campaign, Jimmy Carter's election literature stated that one of the goals of a Carter presidency would be, quote, "to make our total commitment to the security of Israel as a Jewish state absolutely clear," close quote. So the Jewish supremacist boilerplate, "security of Israel as a Jewish state," is at least 46 years old, and really probably older. Well, white people need a racial state, too. And considering our population is much larger than world Jewry's, and considering our valuable cultural variations, we need more than one racial state. We need white France, white Britain, white America, white Russia, and all the states which whites founded and where whites are a majority, to survive and prosper. To do that, every such state must protect its racial integrity. If Israel has a right to do that, so does America. So does Argentina. So does Norway. So does Australia. So does the European race wherever it resides. We already see the beginnings of a new consciousness of this imperative, incarnated in the National Alliance and the cosmotheist community. Within each nation, the attainment of white survival will begin with a small group of dedicated men and women who will organize, 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 and strive with all their might to see their people saved. Thus do we escape the falling empire. It is a process that will lead from a new race-based community, we have that now, to new nations and a new racial order on this earth. And then a new people will emerge, a people that has been our race's destiny from our very beginnings, tens of thousands of years ago, a people exalted beyond imagining. That process has already begun. It started in the hearts and minds, in the feelings and the reason, in the acts of generosity and of heroism, in the men and women of the National Alliance. It is ever renewed and strengthened by each new generation discovering the truth we have preserved and propagated and augmented. It is renewed again as you hear or read my words in you.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism, fundamentally, is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with a conservative, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just to dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker, nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. There's no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual idea. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into power in Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a butt. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.